too want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here and worship together. It's good to hear about how God is working in individuals' lives. Thank you for that testimony, Bob. And yes, just the assurance that when we confess our sins, He forgives us. I do feel like the message this morning kind of goes along with a lot of what we've been thinking about. I'd like to look at the 1 Peter chapter 1, take some inspiration from this chapter. Maybe by way of introduction, this letter was written about AD 60, maybe AD 64, something like this. And as you Bible readers know, if you follow the progression of Apostle Peter's life, you know by this time he had been tempered by trials and afflictions, and he had been strengthened by years of serving Christ. He was no longer the impulsive, weak disciple that he had been, but he had been become the stable, bold one Jesus had said he would become. In John chapter 1 verse 42, he talks about, I believe that Jesus was talking about what Peter would become, where he changes his name to Cephas, which by interpretation is a stone. He had become a pillar in the church. It seems like in 1st and 2nd Peter, he was fulfilling Jesus' command to feed the flock of God. We find that in John 21 and also Luke 22, verse 32, where Jesus told him to strengthen his brethren. This epistle was written to the believers that were scattered through Asia Minor. They were scattered because of persecution. And thus he mentions the trials and manifold temptations in verse 6. Well, I know that we're not facing persecution today, but we do face many temptations. And what's more, we're called to live a life of service and holiness, and that's very counterculture to the world that we live in. We live in a culture where self is promoted and pride prevails, and yet we're called to live a life of humility and a life of compassion toward others. Maybe sometimes we do get discouraged and we wonder, what is the purpose? Why are we doing this? Well, the focus this morning is to help us or encourage us in that we labor for an eternal purpose and our hope is alive. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 are very familiar verses to us. But they say, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So this morning I hope we can find a reason for not becoming weary from these verses in 1 Peter chapter 1. This is just a side note, but I found it interesting how Brother Stephen brought out in our Sunday school class Apostle Paul's humanity and his weakness here in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3. It says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." So even Apostle Paul, he felt that weakness. He felt that weariness. So this morning, if you feel that weariness, I hope that we can find a reason to keep going from these words. Through Apostle Peter's words here, We find that the call to holiness is not a burden. It's not a burden to bear, but a pathway to glory and a journey on the road to an eternal reward. So I was trying to think how to do this. I think I'll go ahead and read the chapter, and then I'll share what I have. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if ye need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him, not yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead, and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So the first point I want to consider is, we have a living hope that sustains us. Verses 3 through 9. I like the way he begins with praise. He says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does he begin with praise? Well, he goes on and talks about how merciful he was to us in bringing salvation. Ephesians 2, verses 12 through 22, I won't read those verses for time's sake, but they explain to us very well our former state. It said, those verses tell us we have no hope without God. We were alienated. We were estranged. But now, through the blood of Christ, we who are afar off can be made a part of his household. That should move us to praise him. The songwriter says, "Hallelujah for the blood, for the sin-cleansing fountain, for the lamb has been slain and the ransom price paid. Fully canceled was the debt when on Calvary's mountain all the sins of this world upon Jesus were laid. Hallelujah for the blood. Sing for joy, all ye nations, and rejoice that the work of redemption is done. Here is pardon, free for all, and perfect salvation through the sin-cleansing blood of the crucified one. Hallelujah for the blood, hallelujah forever. We shall sing it anew in the kingdom of God, where the anthems of delight shall be silent no never. Evermore, hallelujah for Christ and the blood." When we face the trials of life, let's remember what Christ has done for us, and this will help us have an eternal perspective on life. Going on, Apostle Peter uses the word lively hope to describe our life in Christ. And I thought about how to describe a lively hope. I had to think of Abraham. He was promised an heir. He was promised that his people would be given the land of Canaan. And God came down and met with him, God came down and met with him multiple times to assure him that these things would happen. And that happened because he had a relationship with God. And each time Abraham interacted with God, I believe that it was a boost of faith to him. That way his hope remained a lively hope. I think the same is true for us today. We have many scriptures or many promises in the scripture assuring us of what we hope for. And it behooves us to dwell on them, think about them, and when we do that, we will be strengthened. God has been faithful to us in the past. This also assures us of his unfailing presence in the future. When we have a vibrant relationship with God, our assurance of realizing what we hope for is strengthened. So let's cultivate that relationship every day. A statement I came across says that our hope is not static or theatrical. It breathes, it moves, it sustains. A static gives me the idea of being stale and dying. It's not moving. And theatrical would mean for show. And our hope in Christ is neither of those. What is this hope directed towards? Verse 4, to an inheritance. And Apostle Peter describes it with three powerful words: imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Imperishable. That's unlike anything that we build eventually rots away or requires regular upkeep. You could think about the crops that we planted this spring, and they grow for a season and they decay. Or the clothes that we make, they stain and they tear and they get old. Our heavenly inheritance is imperishable. It will not decay. think about undefiled. You know, today our lives and even our work suffer from the curse of sin. And sometimes the consequences of sin that others or we have committed. We also live in a world where compromise is the norm, and pure doctrine is weakened in many lives because they want a mix of that truth and selfishness. They want a mix of truth and serving self. But our inheritance is undefiled and unfading. We can easily understand this. When we get something new, it always becomes old. It just happens. The recognition that we might get fades away. It's soon forgotten in this life. But our inheritance is not susceptible to any of these ills. What's more, it's being kept in a place of safety in heaven, a place where Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 tell us that moths cannot get to it, rust cannot corrupt it, and thieves can't scam it away. So when our labor seems hard and we wonder, are we making a difference? Remember, our true reward is not stored here on earth. It's not in our bank accounts. It's not in our investments of houses and lands, but it is secured by God Himself in heaven for us. Even more than that, Apostle Peter reminds us in verse 5 that we ourselves, while we're here on earth living for Him, we're shielded by the power of God until we're delivered from this world. So our perseverance is not ultimately dependent on our own strength, but on God's power. And this is why we can greatly rejoice, as Apostle Peter commended those that he was writing to in verse 8 for doing. Even though we suffer, even though we face trials, our joy is not based on the present comfort, but on eternal certainty. Secondly, the value of our faith is precious. Verses 7 through 12. I think that all of us like the thought of gold. I think all of us would probably like to have some. I don't know that I have any that I could put my hands on. It was the most precious substance in the ancient world, and today it's one of the most precious substances. Yet these verses tell us that our faith is valued far beyond gold. That's because gold will perish. Even though it might be refined to its purest, it will perish. And what's more, when we die, it will do us no more good. But faith lives on into eternity through our heavenly reward. Just as gold is refined to make it pure, so our faith is refined also to make it pure. And I thought about that. Sometimes it's easy for us to think that since we don't face persecution or like they did here where Apostle Peter is his audience to this letter. But I think that our faith is tested and refined by our everyday choices, where we choose the way of righteousness over serving self. Sometimes those choices are easy, and other times they're hard, and we battle with our flesh, because taking up the cross of Jesus does cost us. But these are not meaningless struggles. It's the refining fire that proves our faith genuine. Will we choose Christ? Will we choose righteousness? And each time our faith is refined. Maybe it's difficult conversations where we choose truth and compassion over compromise and convenience. Maybe it's business decisions where we choose integrity over profit. Maybe it's when we choose forgiveness over anger and bitterness. These are all refining fires that make us stronger and purer. Now I'd like to look at this wording here at the end of verse 7. It says, I'll just read the whole verse, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. This gives me the idea that our victories will not only be rewarded when Christ returns for us, but they will bring Him honor and glory, because by our lives it's proven that He is more powerful than the devil, as He lives in us and we're victorious. Through Jesus, we gain the victory, and so we will enjoy the riches of glory together with Him. I think Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 would bring that out, how it talks about that in the ages to come, He will show us the riches of His grace. And that idea is precious to me, that when we get to glory, He will show us the riches of His grace. We'll enjoy them together. Moving on in verses 10 through 12, Apostle Peter reminds us that we are part of a greater story. The salvation that we experience has been a part of God's plan since before the foundation of the world. Verses 19 and 20 bring that out. The Old Testament teaches us that all the saints look forward to Christ's coming. They would look forward to when He would offer the sinless sacrifice. They longed for this day. The prophets prophesied of His coming. And we get to experience the redeeming work of the cross. So when we consider the work of God in the past, and how we can be a part of His plan, our faith should be strengthened that He desires to use us to fulfill His purposes. In verse 13, or I should say, my next point is, holy living prepares us for glory. Holy living prepares us for glory. So when we think about all the things that we talked about up to this point, they should affect the way we live, shouldn't they? He brings this out in verse 13. And I like how in verse 14, He calls us obedient children. Just as children have a family responsibility to obey their father, and children have a familial responsibility to represent the family in a positive way, so we have a responsibility to be representatives for our Heavenly Father. And notice there will be a difference, not according to our former ways when we serve self or the evil one, when we tried to fashion ourselves after the world. That was the former. We're now called to holiness. We're called to obedience. In verse 13, where it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Remember, in Bible times, they wore loose clothing. And when they were preparing for work or for activity, They would tighten the belt around the waist. They called it girding up their loins, so their clothing would not get in the way. So Apostle Peter is telling us here to prepare our minds for action. Stay focused. Be mentally disciplined so that you're prepared for what lies ahead. Be sober and put our confidence in the grace of God. The call to holiness is a call to distinctive patterns of living that reflect our heavenly citizenship, rather than our former way of life. This distinctiveness will increase our sense of being strangers in this world, but it aligns us with our true identity in Christ, with our true citizenship. When the way of holiness seems too costly, remember the great price Christ paid for our redemption and lift our eyes to his example for us. And I think this will change our view of our time here on earth. Then the last part I want to take is from verses 23 to 25. God can take the corruptible or the perishable and transform it into imperishable and immortal. So much of what wears us down are the things that perish. And I think this is what we talked about in Sunday school, where we have to work, we have to labor. But let's use it to bring God honor and glory and witness for him. So much of what wears us down are the things that perish. You know, we can't get away from those things. Verse 24 says, all flesh is as grass. And we know what grass is like in a time of drought. In the morning when it's fresh with dew on it, it looks good. But by late afternoon, it's wilted. We start in the morning fresh and renewed. And by evening, we're tired and exhausted. And we need to rest again. We are perishable. Our bodies are perishable. Our money is perishable. And our stuff wears out time and again. It has to be replaced. And if we dwell on just that part of it, we will become discouraged and depressed with life. But he tells us here in these verses, we've been born of incorruptible seed through the gospel message, through God's enduring word. Romans chapter 12 talks about how we are transformed. Our identity and our ultimate purpose transcends what is temporary. And again, having this eternal point of view, it won't dismiss our present season, as in verse 6 talks about, but it puts it in perspective. So let's remember that all our work as servants of God, no matter how small it may seem, will be rewarded by our faithful Father in heaven. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So this morning, we have a living hope that sustains us. Our faith has value. It's precious. We're part of the greater story. And God transforms us, making the perishable imperishable. May God add his blessing.